This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Tuesday edition of the Noon Business Hour. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. Intervals of sun and even a few snow showers today, but it's going to be a little milder as we head into the week. It's 33 degrees right now, and for tomorrow, we're in the 40s.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, the Dow now higher by 32 points or a tenth of a percent. We're at 25,207. The NASDAQ lower by 26 points or a third of a percent. S&P down 2. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index back and forth across the flat line. Right now it is up a third of a percent. The government's consumer price index for last month shows a 0.2% increase from January and a 2.2% rise year over year. Both of those marks are in line with forecasts of economists surveyed by Bloomberg. The lack of an upside surprise did help calm the market on edge after data released last month showed wages and prices rose faster than expected. That's what led traders to sell stocks on worry the Fed would rise interest rates more aggressively. And investors also today set aside concerns about changes at the White House after President Trump fired Secretary of State Rex Tillerson. As for the downward pressure, it seems to be coming from the tech sector. Qualcomm is down 4.5% after President Trump weighed in and blocked Broadcom's takeover of the company. And the energy sector also headed lower right now. Crude futures down 1% to $60.73 a barrel. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Lisa. And we're going to be talking about that tech takeover that the president is ordering, that he's blocking a tech takeover. We're going to see what that's all about. Also, he fires the Secretary of State. Does that affect Wall Street?
It's Travel Tuesday here on the Noon Business Hour. We'll talk about flyers' rights and how some of them may be in jeopardy. Also, travel warnings issued for some vacation destinations in Mexico. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
It's 60 Minutes of Financial Planning. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
President Trump blocks the takeover of U.S. chipmaker Qualcomm by Singapore-based Broadcom. We're going to take a look at that move in our next segment. Right now, there is another change in the high levels of that the Trump administration. Rex Tillerson out as Secretary of State. Let's discuss the potential impact on business and the economy with Peter Morici, professor emeritus at the University of Maryland and syndicated columnist in College Park, Maryland. Also, Peter is at Twitter, PMorici1. Peter, thanks for joining us today. Was this a surprise?
Well, nothing surprises you with Donald Trump, but there had been tension between Tillerson and Trump for quite some time. It's really unfortunate because Tillerson was one of his better picks. He turned out to be a very pleasant surprise, a very steadying hand, very effective. And the conduct of U.S. foreign policy has been going on pretty well. What seems to be happening here is the president has a knack for acting impulsively, and often that put him in conflict with things that Tillerson was about to say or just said or what have you.
Does this conflict with, diplomatic issues? And is this going to be hurting a certain sector of the economy?
Oh, I don't think it hurts any particular sector of the economy as much as the instability in the White House at some point could be a drag on the economy. Right now, it's not. But, you know, one wonders who's going to run the State Department. Is Donald Trump going to be jerking this way and that way in such a fashion that it makes it difficult for the State Department to function? This is like the plumbing. You know, we take the plumbing for granted until it doesn't work. Well, things like the State Department are very important for the conduct of U.S. international economic affairs. And there has to be a sense over there that the place is valued. And I don't think that Donald Trump projects that very well.
We have heard that the secretary's exit could mean something for other cabinet officials. Defense Secretary James Mattis and Treasury Secretary Mnuchin and Tillerson had reportedly forged what they called a suicide pact, that if one of them was out, all of them would resign.
Well, you'd have to ask them if there really is a suicide pact. and if they really are going to resign. I mean, several hours have gone by now, and we haven't heard anything. We'll have to see how the day plays out. But tomorrow could be quite a day. It really could be.
Let's talk about the potential impact. As you have some trade negotiations going on, North Korea talks. I mean, if you're an investor, if you're thinking about the near term, does this throw everything up into the air or not really?
Not yet. But if you had a suicide pact execute itself, it might. I mean, the State Department supports trade negotiations, but it doesn't conduct them. Those are conducted by the U.S. Trade Representative and so forth. And so this does not derail those issues. He was an asset in that process, and he'll be replaced by an asset. But, you know, by themselves, no. But if we have a wholesale departure of cabinet officials, you know, one wonders how this guy's going to run a government. You know, I was just thinking when this happened, if I were Larry Kudlow, and I know Larry, would I really want to go over to the White House and the National Economic Council now? You know, he's been prominently mentioned. I mean, Trump is going to have to find it harder and harder to get quality people if he does these sorts of things to quality people. I mean, he summons him back from Africa. He gets off the plane, and he's told he's no longer needed. No conversation with the president. That's absurd.
Peter Morici, always appreciate your insight. Peter is professor emeritus at the University of Maryland, also a syndicated columnist. Find him on Twitter, at P. Morici 1. Coming up, the Trump administration puts the brakes on the hostile takeover of an American tech company by an overseas firm.
The best daily deal in Chicago, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
The Trump administration is blocking the attempted takeover of U.S. chipmaker Qualcomm by the overseas company Broadcom. Let's discuss the move with Rob Brown, CEO of Lincoln International, based here in Chicago. Rob, as best as you can, what's going on here in regard to why this deal was shut down?
Well, I think there's two things going on. I think, one, that it's not a big secret. I think the Trump administration is very nationalistic when it comes to business, and particularly as it relates to China. And so I think there are two elements at play. There's a political element that I think blocking something where there's a concern of Chinese influence over our technology is very much in line with politically what the Trump administration wants to do. But I also think there actually are real national security concerns here potentially. You know, China does not have anywhere near the capabilities of Qualcomm or U.S. chip manufacturers in terms of this next generation of 5G. And, you know, that really powers everything in the tech world. So I do believe there's a political element to this, but I actually believe there is true concerns around this. This is not the first chip maker to be blocked. Trump blocked one earlier last year, and Obama blocked another one later in his term. So I think there has been consistency around this area. I think it's politically charged, given, you know, Trump's stance on China and trade.
Is there anything to the fact that this was a hostile takeover attempt? Does that also add to it?
I don't know. Potentially. Interestingly, you know, Qualcomm's in a tough position because, you know, China's not looking really favorably on this, but China is Qualcomm's largest end market. The vast majority of where they sell, nearly 50% of their business, goes into China because that's where a lot of the phones and some of the tech devices are made. So I don't think that it being hostile necessarily played a part here. It could have behind the scenes, but I do think that, you know, again, Qualcomm's in a bit of a quandary. Their largest end market is China, and this is being blocked because of concerns over China getting access to this next generation of 5G.
Is the White House going to be chasing China for the next few years?
That's a great question. I think clearly, you know, the stance on trade with the tariffs to me were totally political. I don't think there's the effect on the economy just for those tariffs is going to be material. So I think, and it's going to affect China. I do think that this White House is going to look askance at any sort of acquisition or trade deal where China is involved.
When the president fires his Secretary of State, does that affect this kind of operation and trading and overseas trading?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, obviously, the Secretary of State tends to focus more on state relations, but state relations and economic relations are so vastly intertwined that to the extent there's going to be a different influence in the State Department that could affect trade, I definitely think the two are intertwined.
Does there need to be some sort of, when you're talking about these chips and the advanced technology, does there have to be collaboration between nations in order to really take the technology where it needs to go?
To date, that hasn't been the case. I mean, China has just, and Huawei, which is their largest and their most advanced chip manufacturer, they're nowhere near where Qualcomm is. I mean, China just doesn't have an alternative internally to get the technology that they want in their factories. So to date, there hasn't been, but I think over time, I think if you can collaborate with the best minds around the world, you probably do advance, but to date, China has had a very difficult time being competitive on 5G with their current technology.
That is Rob Brown, CEO of Lincoln International, based here in Chicago. Still ahead, Travel Tuesday. Consumer advocates are worried about the expected repeal of regulations that protect flyers.
WBBM News Time, 12:25. It's time now for a look at business news sponsored by Baird. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Well, Chris, the Dow is higher by just 13 points. We're at 25,194. NASDAQ lower by 28 points to 7560. That's a loss of 0.3%. S&P down 3 points, or 0.1%. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg still winning the session right now, up 0.25%. Aetna shareholders have overwhelmingly approved being acquired by CVS. 97% of the votes cast approved of the deal. CVS Health is looking for the takeover to close in the second half of this year once it gets regulatory approval. Crude oil futures are in the red, down more than 1% or 70 cents. Right now it's $60.66 a barrel. As for the grains, we turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal for that. Pete?
After being up 4.25%, corn for the moment, July up 1.5%, December up 1.5%, 4.95%. Beans were up 11 to 12 at times. We have now beans for July up 6.75 at 10.57.75. November's are at 10.41.25, up 5.25. And wheat was up 7, and soft wheat were down 4.25 now in May, down 4 in July. Kansas City wheat was up 10 to 12. We're now down 1 there. Mixed prices here at the Board of Trade. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities and Normal.
Okay, Pete, thank you. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti. News Radio 780 at 105.9 FM.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are now mixed after a strong start. We'll see what's dragging on the markets.
Travel Tuesday, there is concern the Trump administration will change rules designed to protect flyers' rights.
Also on the travel beat, we'll talk about dealing with government-issued travel warnings.
Governor Rauner plans to veto a gun shop licensing bill passed by state lawmakers.
Rex Tillerson is out as Secretary of State. The president wants CIA Director Mike Pompeo to take the post.
Wall Street, the Dow Industrials up 13.5, the NASDAQ down 24, S&P 500 off by 1.5 points.
Cloudier in Chicagoland as the day goes along, seeing some flurries throughout the area. No significant snow except in northwest Indiana. You may get some lake effect stuff, maybe 1 to 3 inches. High today of 36 degrees, which is right about where we are now, 34 O'Hare, 35 at Midway, and 33 degrees along Chicago's lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
Well, it's been up and down day on Wall Street. We're joined by Susan Schmidt, a senior portfolio manager at Westwood in Dallas. Susan, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour.
Thank you.
Besides the up and down on Wall Street, we've got another person leaving the Trump administration. Is your head spinning?
It could be. We've got a lot of news on that front, and I think the market's been incredibly resilient given that macro headline and big news coming out of the administration. And I think that's something to note throughout this. The market has adapted itself to more change than we saw in the previous administration and is largely unaffected by those headlines as they come across. So I think that's something to keep in mind. This has become sort of the norm. The market expects it. The market hates surprises. So it's nice to see the market adapt to this because clearly we are seeing some big headlines there. And And we expect that out of this administration. So does the market. That's going to keep us from getting some irrational price moves.
What part of the market would be a winning the top level?
You know, I think right now what we're seeing is the market is very accepting of the news around the tax cuts. We just finished earnings season. We're not that far off. We're, you know, 2+ months through the first quarter. So fast forward 30 days and we'll start to hear from management teams about the next earnings season and how things are going. And I think what the market is doing right now is reflecting the positives that exist for U.S.-based businesses right now. So we've got a tax break. We've got really good earnings reports. We've got very high, in fact, the highest small business confidence indicator that we've seen. And so that's at record levels. And all of that is very positive for the underlying business in the U.S. I think it's positive for the markets. I also think it means that you can go back into the markets and look for individual ideas. This is a market where individual companies can take advantage of how they're positioned, take advantage of those benefits, and really shine with their operations.
Is there a way, I mean, we'll know in a while, but is there an expectation, I should ask, that the tax bill will see dividends over a long period of time, where companies will be seeing the benefits over a long period of time and not just over, say, the 3 to 6 month period?
I think there is that expectation, because I think that the markets are looking at this and saying that, you know, with that extra savings, with that extra income now, managements who have been reluctant to spend, not knowing what the environment is, are now feeling very confident, recognize that they're more profitable, and want to reinvest back into their business. And one of the themes in the market right now is that we are on the cusp of a CapEx, so capital expenditure cycle, and that management teams will be spending back into their businesses on plants, equipment, expansion, which is all very good for business and should drive long-term positive returns.
Susan, what are your thoughts on GE? The stock is down again, nearly 5% today. Some aren't sure that it's going to be able to keep up its dividend. In general, what do you make of GE's fortunes and future?
Well, GE is an interesting story and certainly high profile because it was such a bellwether name for so long. And we can go back and, you know, our parents, previous generations, GE was one of the stocks that was just a golden stock to have in your portfolio. Nothing could go wrong with it. And we're seeing now that GE is like any other company, large, and it also could have problems. And so we've seen the market really switch its opinion on GE. We've heard GE management talk about the different businesses. They're going through a lot of internal restructuring. And I think that the market is taking a look at the earnings power of GE and through various events, what will that drive? Remember that the earnings power of a company is ultimately what drives its value, and that's the value that the individual shareholder recognizes. And you are seeing the market question what GE has.
For months and months looking at economic reports, there was always that question about wages. Are there going to be firmer wages? And that would, of course, protect the economy and make it even better. Where are we on the wages?
The wages is a very interesting point right now, Chris, because we just saw the wage number come out last Friday, along with employment claims, average hourly earnings crept up. If we back up 1 month and look at the prior month's release on unemployment and average hourly earnings, the market actually panicked over that because wages crept up too much. The market got very nervous, and that's when we saw that swoon in the market in early February. We go to last Friday, and it was a Goldilocks report. Wages were rising, but not so much that it scared the market, just enough to make everyone feel comfortable. And that is very positive. And what we're seeing is the participation rate been increased as well. So more people are coming back into the labor force. And the idea here is to allow for a gradual increase, but not an overall aggressive jump, which would spark fears of inflation. I think what we're seeing is some really healthy data on wages. I think that month-to-month comparison reminds you to look to the long term. Not any 1 month is going to give you the absolute info, but the trend line will. And I think what we're seeing is, again, a positive environment for operations and a very good backdrop for small businesses in America.
Susan Schmidt, always appreciate you being with us. Susan is Senior Portfolio Manager at Westwood in Dallas. Ahead, it's Travel Tuesday. Air passengers may soon be losing some of their consumer protections.
Your best stock option. This is the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
It is Travel Tuesday here on the Noon Business Hour. There's worry among consumer advocates that President Trump could make changes in rules that are designed to protect airline passengers. To talk about it, we're joined by Chris Elliott, USA Today columnist, author of the book, How to Be the World's Smartest Traveler. You can find Chris online at Elliott.org. So, Chris, give us some of the nuts and bolts about some of these changes that may be coming.
Well, that tarmac delay rule that said airlines can only keep passengers on the tarmac for 3 hours before they have to go back or face a fine, that's being loosened a little bit. Full fare advertising rule, the one that says you have to say, you've got to tell passengers how much that ticket is going to cost, that's also on the chopping block. And the 24-hour cancellation rule that says if you buy a ticket, you have 24 hours to cancel. They want to do away with all those rules. And then some, too.
So what are the reasons? I don't know if they've cited any or not. What are the reasons they would give for reversing these?
The airline industry says these are, quote unquote, onerous regulations. They are overregulated and they need to be able to operate in a freer environment, free, presumably, to make more money.
Are there any other changes that the White House is talking about or Washington's talking about?
Well, you have to distinguish between what the White House is saying and what the airline industry is saying. At the end of last year, the Department of Transportation, which has oversight over the airline regulations, asked pretty much the industry, they asked them, what would you like to do? And, of course, they all jumped in and said, we want to get rid of, they had a whole wish list of things that they wanted to get rid of. And with the apparent blessing of the White House, but we know that the current administration favors loosening regulations. We also know that currently the DOT is not going to move on any kind of regulations that had been proposed. There were two minor regulations that were in the works after the last administration and kind of they held over from the last the previous administration, and those got shelved immediately. These had to do with fares and disclosure. And you know, of course, the administration gave that its blessing as well.
Are there going to be hearings, or do these just go into effect?
No, well, the way that it works is that regulations are proposed. You know, Congress can say we want a regulation. A good example of that is the Families Flying Together Act, which was passed last year. That would have required airlines to seat families together if they're traveling with kids, instead of forcing everyone to buy a seat assignment, which can really increase the rate that you pay for an airline ticket. And so essentially what the DOT has done is not moved forward on any of these regulations. Congress asked to have this regulation introduced and created, and the DOT hasn't done that yet. So we're kind of, as far as consumer rights goes and regulations, we're kind of dead in the water.
Good insight. Thanks so much for joining us, Chris Elliott, USA Today columnist. You can find him online at Elliott.org. This time tomorrow, Personal Finance Wednesday. Still to come, how tourists should deal with travel warnings.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It is a second shot of Travel Tuesday on this Tuesday. In this segment, we're focusing on travel warnings from the U.S. government. Following recent action that involved the resort town of Playa del Carmen in Mexico, we welcome Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher at joesentme.com in New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Joe. Let's talk about this recent warning. What happened?
Well, there's been some issues with gang-related violence and other violence in several Mexican resorts that are favored by Americans, and especially Chicagoans. But the issue in total, Chris, I think you have to keep in mind is safety is a very personal decision. There are a lot of people who won't go to Chicago because they read the statistics or they hear the publicity and they stay away. Is that right? I don't think so. So I could make the same case about Mexico. Before you go anywhere, read not just the State Department, but other sources of information, local newspapers, local broadcasts. The internet has everything. And then you need to make a decision on what's right for you and what makes you comfortable. It's your holiday.
Yeah, I'm reading here that there was an explosion of a ferry on February 26th. first in the town of Cozumel, I believe it was. 25 people were injured, but there's also crime action. Is that right?
There's crime. There is gang-related violence. There's drug-related violence. There's things that we would call terrorism. But again, Chris, and I don't mean to put too fine a point on it or minimize it, you know, we've had three explosions in 2 days in Austin, Texas, that no one can explain. That's the capital of cool, as well as the capital of Texas. Would you stay away from Austin because of that? These are not decisions that talking heads like you or I can answer. Every traveler needs to make their own decision. They should make an informed one and understand their own level of risk and comfort with the risk.
Do we know about any certain reaction since the warning?
There's been, you know, Mexico is one of those places where travel ebbs up and down. It's been a little more difficult to book away from Mexico this year if you're looking for a warm weather destination, because so many places in the Caribbean were hit by the hurricanes and people were avoiding. So, you know, it comes back to, well, okay, then you're going to go to Florida. Or Arizona. I mean, these are the kind of decisions Americans make. They're looking for someplace warm still in the winter or even in the early spring, and they start looking at sun destinations, and it's always a balance of weather, safety, security, you know, the highlight or low light of, in the news of the moment. But nothing directly at this moment that has affected Mexico. I think people have accommodated a lot of what they know about the Mexico situation before they make the decision.
Joe Brancatelli, editor and publisher at joesentme.com. We'll get an update on the markets from Bloomberg next. WBBM News Time, 12:55. We're wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of Wall Street sponsored by Grandview Homes. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the Dow falling now 28 points or a tenth of a percent. We're down to 25,150. NASDAQ is lower by half a percent or 38 points. The level there, 7550. S&P down 6 points, a loss of a quarter percent. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is higher now by less than 0.2%. Now that President Trump has blocked Singapore-based Broadcom's hostile takeover of U.S. chipmaker Qualcomm, Qualcomm is in the red, deep in the red, down almost 5% now, as Qualcomm is left to deal with a legal dispute with Apple on its own and also deal with declining profits on its own. Macy's is among the gainers on the S&P at an investor conference today. The company CEO says its inventory levels are healthy and it's on a clear path to comp store sales growth for this year. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.